The Origins of the Mysterious Island. Verne generally drew information from a huge variety of sources for his writing on the desert island theme. However, many claims made in studies to date are superficial, based on mere similarity of ideas. In rapid summary, Verne's favorite work is Wieses' The Swiss Family Robinson, 1812. But his frequent mention of Robinson's does not necessarily mean that Defoe influenced him a great deal, for he uses it as a generic term. While Verne often cites travel writing for adults in his correspondence and in the novels themselves, the works he quotes in his prefaces, perhaps to please Etzel, are invariably children's books. He cites many other writers as influential on his writing on the Robinsonade. Most importantly, Mallet de Beaulieu, Fenimore Cooper, Daniel Defoe, Madame de Merval, and Edouard Renal. But he also cites Louis Cortambert and F.D. Ternaltos, William Dampier, Ferdinand Denis and Victor Chauvin, Louis Desnoyers, Ernest Fouinet, Captain Marryat, Maine Reed, Captain Perron, Woods Rogers, Xavier Boniface Santin, Captain Sharp, Catherine Therese Reeder Voiletz, and Frederick Zürcher and Elie Margolet. Other possibilities for influence on Mysterious Island include many contemporary periodicals of popularization, Paul Rollier, E. de Valbazan, Louis Figuier's Brachiopods, Fish, Reptiles, Zoophytes, Mollusks, around 1871, various writings by Charles St. Clair de Ville, the Garnier Brothers' Encyclopedia of Useful Knowledge, 1852, and LaRousse's Grand Universal Dictionary of the 19th Century, 1866 to 1876. A broad similarity can be detected with several works from his childhood reading, although common details are not always easy to identify, as Verne could not read English or German, and the translations were often highly adapted and abridged. The most prudent course is therefore to concentrate on what he himself wrote on the subject, and here there is an abundance of information. As early as the first chapter of his first novel, Verne reveals the origins of his enthusiasm for desert islands. Soon, the hero dreamed of fame like that of the Mungo Parks, the Bruces, the Cayes, the Levaillants, and even a little, I believe, of Selkirk, that Robinson Crusoe whom he placed on as high a level. What absorbing hours he spent with him on his island of Juan Fernandez. One thing is sure, he would never have fled that blessed island, where he was as happy as a king without subjects. In other words, the many criticisms of solitude in the extraordinary journeys may be merely to please Etzel. An important passage in Captain Grant's Children reveals more of Verne's sources. In 1827, the British ship, the Palmyra, passing near Amsterdam Island, spotted smoke. The captain saw two men making distress signals, Jacques Payne, a boy of 22, and Robert Proudfoot, 48. These two unfortunates were unrecognizable. For 18 months, almost without fresh water, the two Scots had been living off seashells, fishing with a useless bent nail, spending up to 3 days without eating, watching like vestals over a fire lit with their last piece of tinder. The second adventure is that of Captain Perron, a Frenchman this time, the story of 40 months of abandonment. Perron had disembarked with 4 sailors, 2 Frenchmen and 2 Britons, the aim being to engage in hunting sea lions. But when the ship did not appear at the end of the 15 months, when the provisions slowly disappeared, the 2 Britons rebelled against Captain Perron, who would have died without the help of his compatriots. Starting from this moment, the 2 parties, watching each other day and night, permanently armed, led a nightmare existence of misery and anguish. In the end, this Amsterdam island was destined to become and to remain French. It belonged, first of all, by the right of first occupant, to Monsieur Caman, shipowner of Saint-Denis and Réunion. Then it was ceded by virtue of some international contract to a Pole whose Madagascar slaves cultivated it. Polish is virtually the same as French, so that from Polish the island became French again in the hands of Monsieur Ottovan. This passage contains in sum two episodes that seem to have inspired Mysterious Island, especially the chapters where the convicts fight the settlers, a brief discussion of the law of new lands, rare signs of patriotism in Verne and even nationalism, and the idea of colonies being founded by countries, Poland, not normally associated with colonial endeavor, perhaps linked to Nemo's original Polish nationality. The famous account of life on Juan Fernandez, now Robinson Crusoe or Mas a Tierra, appears in The Life and Adventures of Robinson Crusoe, 1719. The story by Daniel Defoe was derived from the adventures of Alexander Selkirk. While off the coast of Chile, the Scot had a dispute with his captain, William Dampier. Perhaps at his own request, he was put ashore in 1704 and lived alone on Juan Fernandez until rescued in February 1709. The similarities between Mysterious Island and Robinson Crusoe include features like the grotto or the wrecked ship, but it is not clear whether the influence is from Defoe, Selkirk, or from the many stories imitating these two. Verne cites a sharp in presenting Selkirk's discovery in The Great Navigators of the 18th Century. At this period, nearly all the maps disagreed on the position of Juan Fernandez Island, so Wood Rogers found it almost without looking for it. On 1st February 1709, a large fire was noticed on the shore. A boat brought back a man dressed in goatskins, with a face even wilder than his clothing. Selkirk had been put ashore with his clothes, his bed, a gun, a pound of powder, some bullets, tobacco, an axe, a knife, a cooking pot, a Bible, and a few other religious books, his instruments, and his naval books. Selkirk constructed two huts, some distance from each other, and ate Jamaica pimento. He had so much lost the habit of speaking that he had difficulty in making himself understood. The misfortunes of Selkirk have been recounted by a modern writer, Santine, in the novel entitled Alone. The importance, of course, is the sections of Mysterious Island dealing with Ayrton's abandonment as punishment, descent into animality, loss of speech, and rescue. Other ideas visible in Verne's book are the confusion over the position of the island, a fire which draws attention, the list of books and tools, dual habitations, and interference between French and English names of plants. Further investigation is required to confirm the extent of Captain Sharp's and Santine's influence on Mysterious Island. The Swiss Family Robinson, 1812, by Johann Rudolf Wies, marked Verne indelibly. He mentions two translations, that of Isabelle de Botton, 1814, presumably read as a boy, and the adaptation by P.J. Stahl, pseudonym for Etzel, and E. Muller, published by Etzel, 1864. Wies's medium-sized New Switzerland is greatly influenced by Robinson Crusoe, but contains rhinoceroses, hippopotami, lions, and tigers. In his preface to Masterman Ready, Marryat inveighs against it simultaneously having elephants and penguins. Uncle Robinson and Mysterious Island show huge influence, especially the opening and closing scenes of Uncle Robinson. The name Safety Island, Safety Bay in the Swiss Family Robinson, plus the turning over of the enormous turtle, which also occurs in the school for Robinsons, the stranding of the whale, Jack's use of the pick in the grotto containing the stalactites, and close parallels between the discoveries of Jenny and Ayrton following similar messages. Amongst the animals and plants in Mysterious Island, we can observe especially Visa's porcupine and flamingo, the grouse, sago, the onager, and cotton. Verne's tone and style are, in all probability, a homage to Vise and his French translators. In his prefaces to both 2 Years' Vacation and Second Homeland, Verne cites Madame Allais de Beaulieu, author of at least 11 books for young people. The 12-year-old Robinson, the curious story of a French cabin boy abandoned on a desert island, 1818, was reprinted about 30 times. When the ship young Felix is on is wrecked, he is saved by his dog, like Smith in Mysterious Island. As in Verne, the difficulties met are progressive. Felix has only tinder, a lighter, a knife, a ball of string, and a top. He eats eggs and a goody and climbs a mountain at dusk, but cannot see much from the summit, as it is dark. He discovers a chest containing carpenter's tools, finds a replacement for tinder, and moves into a cave in which he constructs a window, as in Mysterious Island. When he goes back to his first home, he finds the hut destroyed. In Mysterious Island, the chimneys are damaged by the sea. He goes through a period of penance for his earlier faults, like Ayrton, and having witnessed a sea monster attack a boat, he adopts the only survivor, a baby. A few years later, he saves another person from a wreck who turns out to be his mother. Despite its implausibilities, Beaulieu's work is evidently similar to Verne's novel. In Why I Wrote Second Homeland, Verne also cites Louis de Noailles, the adventures of Robert Robert and his faithful companion Toussaint Lavenette, 1839. Amongst links are the illustration captioned Shipwreck of the Rapide, the raft, presumably the origin of Verne's Speedy, but especially the striking description and illustration of the death of Captain Flotar, the origin of the death of Captain Nemo. Verne cites, thirdly, the crater, or Vulcan's Peak, 1847, translated significantly as the crater, or the American Robinson, 1850. In this novel, Mark Wolston, probably borrowed from Vise's Wolston, goes to sea in 1793, but encounters an uncharted reef west of Valparaiso. With animals from the boat, the two survivors, Mark and Bob, settle. They eventually move to another island, Vulcan's Peak, with coconut palms and breadfruit, and build an 80-ton schooner. After various adventures, other settlers arrive, and Mark eventually becomes governor of a full-scale colony, with his wife Bridget and 500 other people, a governing council, and even a postal system. Pirates attack, newcomers upset the social harmony via the newspaper's columns, and Mark is ousted. He and Bridget go home, then head back to Vulcan's Peak, but divine retribution and an earthquake have made it sink beneath the waves, leaving no survivors, just the rim of the volcanic crater. Amongst the striking similarities with Mysterious Island are the subtropical island that exhibits characteristics of colder climes, the volcanic cone, discussion of previous shipwrecks, the need for tobacco, the dominance by an educated man, the obsessive naming in terms of American localities, the fatal delay of one night in launching the first boat, the instinct of animals in announcing natural disasters, the absence of shipping, the crack in the volcano through which seawater enters and creates steam, thus causing the earthquake, the eruption with light ash like snow, the concealment of a ship in a sheltered bay, the ship which is permanently caught in an inlet by a change in the land shape, the lake fed by a surprisingly large stream and overflowing into another stream, the little lake below the peak with a concealed stream emerging, the paradisiacal plateau far from the bare cone, the network of channels, sounds, and islets, the settling on two islands and the transfer from one to the other, the use of leagues for distance, birds with brilliant plumage, the dark-skinned companion, the word unconscious referring to hidden mental states, and the term abolitionist, the making of bricks and lime, ambivalence about leaving the island, and above all, the conclusion that even land masses can be temporary and that the beginning often resembles the end. In the same preface, finally, Verne quotes Madame de Miral's The Robinson of the Desert Sands, around 1850, although the author is cited in the volume as M. de Miral. Miral's avant-propos quotes an Indian moquiste in 1861, presumably an error for Mosquito and 1681. Abandoned on the island of Juan Fernandez, he lived there for 3 years and obtained for himself by hunting, fishing, and his industrious spirit all the resources of life. The appeals to Providence, being an orphan, the childhood spent reading of exotic foreign lands and seeking one's fortune in America, are perhaps generic, but must have influenced the young Verne. We observe such other Vernian ideas as a protector who, like Lidenbrock, has a curious cabinet of mineralogy, and a departure from the ocean-going port of Nantes with a description of the dangers of the crossing from Nantes to Paimboeuf. The hero arrives on a barren seacoast, in a state of exhaustion and unconsciousness, accompanied by flotsam from the shipwreck. His first meal is uncooked shells, and he fears both lions and tigers. He rescues books, a telescope, barrels, and livestock, and makes sails into clothes. Using telescope lenses, he makes fire together with tinder from paper and clothing. He uses natural cavities for storage and prepares materials to make signals for passing ships. Although it is difficult to separate out the strands of Uncle Robinson and Mysterious Island, Verne and Etzel, virtually all these ideas must have contributed to Mysterious Island. Some of Miral's phrases are quoted almost textually by Verne, for instance, "Each time that I saw a vessel leaving port for some long sea journey, I felt a profound regret that I was not part of its crew." Or the indistinguishability of monkeys and humans. The ending, where the desert island existence is recreated in a more civilized but still remote area, clearly presages Verne's ending in Iowa. A final source for Mysterious Island may possibly be Edouard Reynal, The Shipwrecked, or 20 Months in the Auckland Islands, 1863 to 1865, published in the periodical Le Tour du Monde, 1866, then by Hachette in 1870. This is the true story of five men, Reynal himself, a Norwegian, a Portuguese, a Briton, and an American called Captain Thomas Musgrave, author of Castaway at the Auckland Isles, 1866. Following the shipwreck of the Grafton, the men spend 20 months on the rocky Auckland Isles, still uninhabited today. Reynal's volume has 40 drawings by Alphonse de Neuville, who illustrated 20,000 Leagues, and other works by Verne. There is a brief allusion in Verne's A Floating Island. "On board the Coringi, Auckland Reefs, finally we have been shipwrecked." The name Harry Clifton in Uncle Robinson may come from Reynal's Harry plus the Grafton. In 2 years' vacation, the same Grafton brings the heroes back to the same port of Auckland. Reynal uses sealskins to create a bellows for the forge, as Smith does. He also employs the saw in his penknife to make a hut and beds and other furniture, whereas Flip talks of his knife being able to build a house or a ship, and Clifton also has a saw in his knife. Harry uses wet matches from his pocket to light a fire. in Uncle Robinson and Mysterious Island, fire is made using one match found in a pocket. Smith's soap making may be derived from Raynal's description of boiling a mixture of plants, soda, potash, lime, and seal's fat. Raynal finds in his chest a Bible that his wife had secretly put there. The settlers are similarly surprised to find a Bible in their chest. However, the two writers may simply be referring to common sources, especially as Uncle Robinson probably predates Raynal.